This morning I want to call your attention to a passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. Scripture that has been on my mind for the last several days. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul would admonish the church at Ephesus by saying to them, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now that was true in the first century, 2,000 years ago. And it certainly is true today. You and I, as God's children, need to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. That word redeeming, as Paul uses it here, as best I can determine, means to use the time that God has given us. Use it wisely on this earth. You know, word study is very helpful in Bible study, to study the meaning of words. And I have a little app on my phone. It's called Strong's Concordance, and it's a very good help when you're studying. Now, here's what Strong's Concordance looks like in a book. It's a big book, and it's a lot to carry around. I'm glad we have one here in the pulpit, but you can have one on your phone, and you can look up the definition of words in Hebrew and Greek, and it's very helpful in the study of the Bible. So the word redeeming here, as best I can find out, means to use the time that God gives us on this earth. Use it wisely. Don't waste your time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Merchants who are in business try to find opportunities in the business world to make a profit, and they use their time wisely as they're running their business, whether it's a store or whatever it is. Generals in battle often look for opportunities to attack the enemy in a timely way. Well, you and I are given time on earth. And I want to tell you, time is precious. It's a gift from God. You can't go to Walmart and buy it, but God is giving us time. And he gives it to us in seconds, in minutes, and hours, and days, and weeks, and months, and years, decades. Some people even get a century of time. You know, there's a lot of people in America now living to be 100 years old plus. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? If you could still have your right mind and be able to wait on yourself, I imagine most of us would be okay living to be 100. But whatever time we have, it is a gift from God. Do y'all understand that? God is giving us time. Somebody selected that song this morning. Each moment of time is precious to me. And it's a gift from God. And only God can give us time. And the time that God gives us, we ought to be using it in a way that is pleasing to him. Paul uses that expression again in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. He would say, walk in wisdom, Colossians 4 and verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. That is, using the time that God gives us on this earth. It's not to be wasted. Now, if you'll notice in the context of him using this word, redeeming the time, it has a lot to say about how we talk. Notice in verse 6 of Colossians 4, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. When you go back here to Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is admonishing us to speak wisely with our words. So redeeming the time means to use the time wisely that God has given us on this earth. We're not to waste it, but we're to use it in a way that is pleasing to God. Now, what can you and I do in this life that is making good use of the time that God is giving us? Well, work is an honorable thing. The Bible tells us to work with our own hands. Work is an honorable thing. God gave us 7 days in each week, and 6 of those originally were to be spent working. And work, if you have an honest job and you go to work, whether it's farming or banking or being a lawyer or a doctor or whatever you do, if it's an honorable work, let me tell you, that's pleasing to God. You're not wasting the time God has given you when you're on the job, trying to make a living for yourself and your family. That's an honorable thing. And I commend people that are working. The Bible doesn't speak very fondly of people that are lazy. Did you know that? The Bible does not honor laziness, slothfulness. People that work are honored in God's word. And when we are working in a profession or whatever that we are blessed with, that is not wasting the time that God has given us. And did you know resting is not wasting time? God gave us 1 day out of the 7 to rest. There's nothing dishonorable about people resting. How many of y'all enjoy resting? Isn't it a blessing just to be able to sit down and rest, or to go to bed and rest, just take a day off and do nothing? That's not sinful. That's not wasting that day, because God knows we need rest. So when you take it easy, just enjoy it. Take a vacation. That's honorable in the sight of God. When you go to the beach, you go to the mountains, you take some time off, that's not wasting time. That's probably helping you in your mind and in your body. And I see some of y'all smiling at that. Well, it is. It's a good thing to just be able to rest, to relax, to slow down, to take it easy. That's a good thing in the sight of our God. Praying. When you're praying, you're not wasting time. Would y'all agree with that? I enjoyed what Sister Dana said this morning. Nelda read it to me on the way to church about her niece. She was 8 years old when she battled cancer. And she was telling her aunt Dana, said, "I'll tell you what helped me, praying to God." And she said, "When I was 9 years old, I wanted to be baptized." And she said, "I was." And she's been enjoying the church and prayer. I don't know how old she is now. I don't think the article said that. But let me tell you, when you're praying, you're not wasting time. And the good thing about prayer is it's so convenient. When you're sitting in traffic, you can pray. Sitting at a traffic light, you can pray. When you're mopping the floor, you can pray. When you're cutting the grass, you can pray. Prayer is not wasting time. Prayer is a good use of the time God has given us. And what is prayer? Well, it's talking to our Heavenly Father, communicating with Him. And you know, that's been available to God's children from the morning of time. I know God is in glory. He's in heaven. But He made it where you and I could talk to Him constantly Even though we're down here on this earth limited to these human bodies. And how do we communicate with them? Through prayer. Cell phones are wonderful. I communicate with friends of mine in Africa constantly on WhatsApp. It's an app on my smartphone, and they send me pictures. They send me videos. Sometimes they even call me on WhatsApp. It's free. It's an amazing app. And I can be sitting right here in this building talking to Brother Martin thousands of miles from here, and that's amazing, isn't it? I mean, I stand amazed at telephones. But let me tell you, prayer was available a long time before telephones. And you don't need a telephone to talk to God. You can just talk to Him where you're sitting right now. Y'all could be praying for me while I'm preaching. Would y'all do that? Now y'all, give me your attention. I want y'all praying for me while I'm trying to preach the gospel to you. You can just pray anytime. And let me tell you, beloved, when you're reading God's Word, studying the Word of God, did you know that's not wasting time? And if you don't take but 10 minutes in the morning before your day really gets busy to spend time in the Word, that is not wasted time. That may be the best, that may be the most profitable thing you do all day. Because you see, the Word of God is food to the soul. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. We all need bread, and most of us get plenty of that. But He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we need to feed our spiritual nature as much as we do our bodies. Singing, like we were, you know, we sing about 30 minutes here before the rest of the service. And I want to tell you, singing the hymns of Zion, we're not wasting time. We're not waiting for the Johnny Come Latelys. Singing is worship. The Bible teaches us to sing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. And when the saints of God gather and we blend our voices and we begin to sing, how great thou art. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Did you know that's not wasted time? How many of y'all want to waste your life? I want to tell you, time is precious and it's fleeting. I can tell you that. And we don't want to waste the time that God has given us here in this world. Visiting the sick. Did you know that's not wasted time? It's a blessing to be able to go and visit somebody that is sick. Take them a casserole. Or, you know, and there are people in this church who have a ministry of sending out cards. I get cards almost every week from people in this church. Did you know that's not wasting time? Matter of fact, I need to take up that habit. I was thinking about it this week. I need to go buy me a bunch of cards and start sending cards to the sick. Because I can tell you it's uplifting to get a card in the mail from somebody. And they sign their name and they say they love you. That is not wasting your time. Amen? Visiting the widows and the orphans. Did you know, James said that pure and undefiled religion. How many of us want pure religion? Not just, you know, fake religion. We want pure and undefiled religion. You know what James said it is? To visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions and keep ourselves unspotted from the world. I tell you, there are widows in this world who can't get out. They can't drive anymore. They can't go anywhere. You know, I was thinking this morning as I was studying this subject about the past week that I have lived, and I have done a lot of things in the last week, but I honestly, and I hesitate to say this because it'll sound like I'm boasting, but I hope you know I'm not, but of all the things that I've done this week, I really do believe The greatest blessing I got this week was when I stopped by Norristown Junction Friday afternoon after attending the association and visited with Sister Ruth Hutchison. She's 87 years old. She's feeble. She can't drive anymore. She's all alone and spends a lot of lonely time. And I used to go in that home when I was about 20 years of age. Her kids were about my age, and we just had a lot of good times. Her husband built two sets of kitchen cabinets for me. I just loved that family. But now Sister Ruth is all alone. She had six children. Four of them are dead. And I tell you, I just sit there in that home, and I just enjoyed it. And she said some kind things to me. Listen, I wasn't wasting time when I stopped by, and I stayed a lot longer than I'd planned on. I really enjoyed it. I stopped by Sister Jeanette Fulford's. You know, she's always wanting people to come see her. And I stopped by her house and called her on the phone, and she said, "Brother Sam, I'm in Dublin having supper." She said, "I wish I was at home." But let me tell you, I don't do that nearly as much as I need to. But I want to tell you, when you're visiting the widows and the orphans, you're not wasting the time God has given you. I read years and years ago about a man, and I don't remember the story very vividly, but let me share with you what I do remember. This father was very busy in his business, in his career. He was very, very busy. But one day, his son begged him to take off and take him fishing. And the man, the busy, busy man, took off time to take his son fishing. And later on, he said it was a day wasted. A day wasted. Taking his son fishing. But his son, in his biography, wrote and said one of the greatest days of his life was when his dad took him fishing. Wow. Did y'all get that? The career man, the man making lots of money, thought he was wasting time by carrying his son fishing. But the son, later on, in his biography, said one of the greatest days of his life was when his dad took him fishing. I want to tell you, that's not wasted time. When you spend time with your children, you know, parenting is a big job. Do y'all know that? How many of y'all know that's a big job? It's probably the most important job in America. Parenting. Don't turn it over to the school teachers or the pastors or the churches. Parents need to be involved in their children's lives. We need to spend time with them and go to church with them and pray with them and go on vacations with them and just spend quality time with our children. Yes, sir. Spending time with our children is so important. Beloved, and orphans. You know, there's an organization here in Middle Georgia that helps to feed families, especially those that have taken in orphans. And it's a wonderful work. And you and I ought to be contributing financially to that work. Somebody is willing to take the time to raise money to feed people that are hungry here in Middle Georgia. Do y'all think that's a good work? I do. I think it's an amazing work. And time is not wasted. Let me turn over to the Gospel of Matthew just a moment and read something to you all that our Savior is going to say to those on the last day. We read this in Matthew chapter 25. And let's begin in verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory. Now that'll be a day, won't it? When Jesus comes back in all of His glory, what a day that will be. Now what's going to happen on that day? When the Son of Man shall come in His glory. Yesterday I tried to preach some on, but we would see Jesus. Oh, we love to see Him as a baby in the manger. We love to see Him as a young boy of 12 about his father's business. We love to see him ministering to the sick when he was here in the world. And I do love to see him on that cross dying for my sins. But I'm telling you what I'm looking forward to, seeing him in his glory. Did you know we're going to see him in his glory? In some ways, I'm glad I wasn't there at Calvary, because that would have been an awful sight. A little knob on the side of a mountain just outside of Jerusalem was where the Romans chose to crucify their criminals. And there, the Son of God died on that shameful cross. Dead men's bones were scattered over that hill of execution. And I tell you what, it would have been sad to have been there, wouldn't it? To have seen Jesus up there on that cross. Can you imagine what that would have been? But let me tell you, the first time you and I ever see him, we're going to see him in his glory. He's coming back in all of his glory, not to die on a cross, but he's coming back to get those he bought and paid for when he was on the cross. Now listen to what Matthew says here in verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. What a day. Isn't that going to be glorious? Are y'all listening to this? Let's read it again. You know, it's so easy to just read over a verse and get on with life. Let's pause a moment here. When the Son of Man, that's Jesus, shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And behold, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Now, did you hear that? As a shepherd, he's gonna divide his sheep from the goats. He claims the sheep are his. Did you notice that? His sheep from the goats. The goats are not his. He didn't want them and he didn't die for them. But I will tell you, the sheep are his. And he's going to divide the nations of the earth as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, Jesus isn't going to say to the sheep on his right hand, now y'all are going to go to heaven because of the good works you've done. He says it's an inheritance. How many of y'all know what an inheritance is? It's a gift. If it could be proven in a court of law that you had anything to do with the writer of the will, including you in that will could be voided. That will could be thrown out of court. You and I don't have a right to influence people to include us in their wills. They do it out of the goodness of their heart. And that's what God did. He chose his people in Christ before the foundation of the world. And we're going to heaven to inherit heaven. That's a very important point. A lot of people don't understand that. They think heaven's a reward. I'm going to be paid for the life I live on earth. I pray not. But listen to what he says. And he shall say to his sheep on the right hand, then the king shall say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father. I want to tell you, God's sheep are blessed. You may feel like you don't have many blessings today. Let me tell you, if you're one of his sheep, you are blessed. You are blessed with eternal life. You are blessed with an inheritance. You are blessed, and you're on your way to glory. You know what? In the midst of life's struggles and trials down here, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all just look at the sufferings of this time world in the context of eternity? That's what Paul was doing in Romans 8 when he said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. You see, beloved, the glory that's going to be revealed in us is for all eternity. Our sufferings here in this world are momentary. They're just for a moment. And you know, if you and I could just keep heaven in focus and being with him in glory forever, I want to tell you, I believe that would help us through the troubles and trials of life. And so Jesus is going to say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Now, when was this kingdom, when was this prepared for us? From the foundation of the world. Before time, way back in the morning of time, God prepared heaven for his elect family, for his sheep. And he sent his son down here to save the sheep, and they're all going to be with him in glory. Now, Jesus is going to begin to describe to us something that would help us to understand who the sheep are. Let's look at verse 35. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Did y'all hear that? What's going to identify the sheep as they live out their lives on this earth? Well, they're just going about helping people. I'm going to read that again. Jesus says, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. How many of y'all have ever just enjoyed feeding hungry people? I know my mama enjoyed feeding us when we were boys growing up, and we were always hungry. I mean, that table was surrounded by hungry boys, and my mama cooked breakfast, dinner, and supper. Now you figure out how many meals that is. I haven't taken the time, but three meals a day for a year, that's 365. That's a lot of cooking, isn't it? And a lot of dirty dishes. And my mama enjoyed it. How many of you mamas today enjoy feeding your kids or your dads? How many of y'all just enjoy having visitors to come in? And you just enjoy having company in your home? How many of y'all enjoy that? How many of y'all enjoy bringing food here to church on Sunday and just put it out on the table and let everybody help themselves? Don't y'all enjoy that? I know you do because I see it. That's a wonderful thing. You know it, to serve dinner? When I was a boy, we didn't do that because we didn't have a dining room. We had table on the ground, dinner on the ground. Y'all remember that? They would put a piece of wire over some sawhorses, and we'd go out there once a year and have big dinner on the grounds, and I loved it because I got all the fried chicken and pineapple sandwiches I could eat on that day. I seldom ever got that. But let me tell you, we enjoyed doing it then. But people back then would have company in their homes. You know, they would. I mean, my brother E.D. and I have often got around to eating at the third table on Sunday. Now you kids don't, y'all don't understand that. These kids don't get it. They go first. Now, have you noticed that? When I was a kid, we went last. The men would eat, and then the women would eat, and if there was anything left, we got to eat. My brother E.D. got mad one Saturday. I won't ever forget it, because there was hardly anything left. And E.D. had a big appetite. But Mama and Daddy enjoyed having company and just feeding them. And I've been enjoying, Brother Ronald Lawrence said during our fellowship meeting that he counted up, he had been in 150 different homes that he could think of in America from here to California. And you know what? He just enjoyed hospitality. He enjoyed sitting down and eating. How many of us have enjoyed the blessings of God on us? And Jesus says to those on his right, I was hungry and you fed me. And those on the right say to Jesus, when did we feed you? And you know what he said? Inasmuch. Are y'all plugged in now? Inasmuch as you've given it to one of the least of these my children, you've done it to me. Did y'all get that? How many of us would feed Jesus if he was on earth today and Jesus was in Atlanta and he was hungry, how many of you all would start out right now to walk to Atlanta to give him something to eat? I would. I believe everybody in the house would today. Wouldn't you just love to have fed Jesus? Wouldn't you have loved to have given him a drink of water when he was dying on the cross and he cried out and said, I thirst? Oh, my soul, wouldn't I have enjoyed giving him a drink of water? His thirsty, parched mouth was dry as dust, and he cried out, the God of the universe who created every drop of water on the planet is now taking my place and says, I thirst. Oh, wouldn't you have loved to have given him a drink? But I want to tell you, if you give one of these children here today, or your brother or your sister a drink, Jesus takes it personally. You know what? How many of you parents here today, if somebody's kind to your children, you take it personally? I do. I love it when people are kind to children. Well, I want to tell you, your Heavenly Father and Jesus takes it personally when you're doing something for somebody. Jesus said, did you notice he didn't say, I commend y'all for y'all went out and made millions of dollars, or you own 10,000 acres of land, or no. Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me. See, people that are dead in sin don't do that. It's all about them. You know, make all you can all you make. Sit on the lid of the can till the undertaker comes and takes you away. That's people dead in sin. But you see, if you're born again, you have a heart to do for others. And I want to tell you, that is not wasting your time when you're doing for others. Jesus said, I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. When I was in Birmingham, Nelda and I knew a young boy that had gotten involved in drugs. His mother walked out on him when they were little children. Left him. He and his sisters were standing at the, school bus stop. And nobody to pick him up. His mother had left. Gone. And I visited him. He got into drugs and alcohol, and I would visit him in the prison in Alabama. And he'd sit there and he would wipe the tears. And I said, Jacob, why do you keep doing it? Why do you keep on taking the drugs? He said, Brother Sam, I just don't care for nothing when I'm high. You know, that's sad, isn't it? It's so sad. Let's pray for those in prison. Now, a lot of them are there because of violent crimes, and they need to stay there. Would you all agree with that? But let me tell you, a lot of them are there just out of pain and suffering. And let's pray for them. And if you know somebody in prison, go visit them. It'll mean something to them. Let's see, goodness. Talking about time, my time is gone. And I've hardly got started here this morning. I think I saw somebody looking at their watch. You know, that's a signal to a preacher. That's a red flag. I think y'all fixed the clock back there. I appreciate those who fixed the clock. We want to be aware of the time. I heard down at the association Friday, somebody said the five B's of public speaking is be brief, brother, be brief. And so, okay, my time, we'll get back into this maybe tonight. But I just want to encourage y'all, let's not waste our time that God has given us. Amen. And loving people, praying for people, doing for people. I tell you, when you're wasting time is when you're gossiping. That mouth is running wide open. And you're talking about people. Let me tell you this. I thought about this the other day. You know, in a courtroom, you've got a judge who's totally qualified to judge. You got a lot of experience. You got lawyers for the defense, lawyers for the prosecution. You've got witnesses coming in. And they sit there and they can go through that trial, and sometimes a trial can last for days. And even then, sometimes they make the wrong judgment in a courtroom. Did you know that? Well, let me tell you, folks, just because you and I hear a little gossip on somebody, it may not be true. Are y'all listening? Are you listening? Did you get that? Our judgment can often be very, very wrong. And the best thing we can do is pray for somebody that's being gossiped about. Let's be kind and tenderhearted. Zip the lip. I've told y'all, we all need a little speed bump between our brain and our mouth. Some of us need a stop sign. Because let me tell you, when you're talking about somebody, you're wasting your time. When you're talking filthy, you're wasting. God gave us these mouths to edify, to build up. May God help us to do so.